Welcome to the Wildly Balanced podcast. Wildly Balanced is your weekly permission slip to do business your way. Permission to bring more life into your work-life balance, set better boundaries and stick to them sustainably, release shame and let your wild side flow. Welcome back to another episode of Wildly Balanced. I'm so excited for today's guest. Today we have Maya Sager. She is an educator, entrepreneur, and author from Mississauga, Ontario. Her background in education has led to the inception of her company, Impact Learning, a first of its kind educational services industry. Maya is also currently pursuing her Doctor of Education at the University of Calgary. So fun. It's so good to have you.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
Amazing. I'd love to just kind of like dive right into, first of all, I want to hear like a little bit about you, who you are and what you're currently balancing. And then I'd love to explore what your company is and how it's the first of its kind. So,
yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with what am I currently balancing? A lot. My life is very wild. I am a full-time entrepreneur, full-time student, full-time dog mom and, you know, house owner and trying to do all the things. So definitely balancing a lot. A little bit about me. I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur. I was that kid at like 7 years old who had businesses. Like I have just always kind of found my way back to owning a business in different ways, shapes, or forms over the years. I definitely did not like go to school thinking like post-secondary school thinking that this is where my life would go. I ended up though starting my business 2 years ago. It is a kind of an education curriculum based company. My undergrad was in communications. So like totally different. Definitely thought I was going to go like a traditional, I guess, business route, but education has always kind of been my heart. And I found a really unique way to kind of bring those two things together through my business. So it's been really exciting. It's been incredibly stressful and insane the past 2 years trying to do it all. But I mean, I couldn't imagine it any other way.
I'm so excited to hear all about it. That sounds like a busy life balancing all the things, all the things.
All the things, always. It's like nonstop.
I also love that you're one of the many entrepreneurs who's like, it started as a lemonade stand and then it progressed into this beautiful business that you have now.
Mine was custom bookmarks. That was, you know, my start. I used to like design on PowerPoint, like bookmarks, and then print them and like laminate them and try to sell them to my family and friends.
Ooh, I love that. I love how that also like ties into like the education.
Like, yeah, books. It's just full circle. It's quite funny.
I love that right from the get-go. You're like, this is who I am. This is what I do. Yeah. I'd love to hear what your business is like, Impact Learning.
And like, yeah, what totally.
I'm just very curious what it is.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. I started Impact Learning in, I want to say March 2021. I had been doing a little bit of freelance curriculum work throughout my schooling. And I'm the entrepreneur in me, I always want to be doing something. So I was always kind of just like picking up little projects here and there. And I was doing this kind of freelance. And I remember saying to my boyfriend and being like, I think I could start a company out of this one day, but I'm going to wait till I'm done my doctorate. I had just gotten accepted into my doctorate at the time. I said, you know, I'm going to wait till later. Like maybe, you know, when I have kids, it'll be a great way to like, you know, have a flexible lifestyle. And he just kind of was like, well, why wait? Like, what are you waiting for? And I was like, oh, true. So I actually, like, I'm pretty sure I started the business like the next day and I just called it Maya Sager Consulting because I couldn't like come up with a name, but I was like, I just want to have like a presence. I just want to start something. And then basically that year, so 2021, it grew quick and it grew big to the point that come like October, November, I had about 10 students working like part-time with me. So it was crazy. And then at that point, it was actually a really funny moment when I saw one of my team members post on their LinkedIn that they worked at Maya Sager Consulting and I hated it. I hated it. I was like, I don't like my, like, it just felt so wrong. And I remember calling up my business coach and being like, I need a company name. Like I need a company name that's outside of me. So we went on like a big journey to try to come up with a new company name and kind of just rebrand and really kind of refocus now that I had had that year to kind of test things out and see what was working, what wasn't working. So pretty much January 1st, 2022, I started as Impact Learning and as my full-time job. This has now been over a year that the company has been my full-time job as well as part and full-time jobs for many other people at different kind of times in the year. A lot of our team is still students or recent graduates, which is also super fun because it brings a bit of a different perspective to what we're doing in terms of what we actually do. So I'm kind of creating this language that we are an education agency. So I kind of thinking to how, like, say, a marketing agency would work, how you have kind of one place, but you have your content creator, you have your copywriter, you have your editor, you have all of those people who are working in the same place for a client. That's pretty much what we do, but for education-based businesses. So for businesses who offer teaching and learning in any way, it might be that they sell it to customers. It might be that they offer it, you know, in terms of like training to their team internally. Anyone who does any sort of teaching and learning, we can support them some way. And it might be through creating content, creating curriculum, editing, revising, auditing curriculum. But it might also be literally like, okay, I have this idea for this education-based business. How do I make it a business? So we kind of started more so on the education side, and now we're pivoting into being kind of a holistic place for education-based businesses.
Ooh, I love this so much. This is so interesting. Also, first off, I just want to say it disgusts me that 2 years ago was 2021. Like, I still feel like we're in 2021 and that was two years ago, and I don't like that.
No, it's kind of weird when I try to put my timelines together because that's absurd to me.
Right? I was like, I started 2 years ago in my business, but I started in 2019. So I started like going on 4 years now. And that's
a long time ago.
Right? I just wanted to say that because that shook me a little bit. Yeah, I was super excited to like read your application for the podcast and have you on here because I feel like as like a virtual assistant, I was telling you before we hit record, like a lot of our guests have been like virtual assistants or like coaches that we know in the online world kind of thing. And I feel like I really get this like tunnel vision of like, this is entrepreneurship. This is what I can offer. And like, this is how I support people. And there's no other way to do it. But it was really interesting. Like hearing what you do is super interesting because I would have never thought that like, that was something you could like have as a business.
Totally. It's so interesting. No, it's really unique. And I was actually just talking to someone recently about how like when I started my master's degree in curriculum, I 100% thought that my only career path was like working at a school board or working like for a textbook publishing company. Like, and then I kind of got into it. And I remember the first time on LinkedIn, I saw that Sephora was hiring a curriculum developer. And I was like, what does like Sephora need a curriculum developer for? And I realized corporate training. So suddenly like my brain was, I opened myself up to a lot of opportunities, but again, the entrepreneur in me won, and I haven't really had a traditional job. Like, I mean, I have, but like, not really.
I love that. You're like, ooh, Sephora knows what they're doing. I'm just going to take that and create.
Yeah. So it's been really cool. Yeah, it's been cool. And it's really, honestly, the business has grown as my client needs have grown. It really started out as we do curriculum development. And then it was like, okay, we do curriculum development. And then it was like, and. And it's still growing with things that clients are coming to us and we go, well, yeah, that makes sense. Like if we're helping your business as a whole, there are certain things that we need to be able to do.
I love that so much. I'm like a firm believer that entrepreneurship thrives on like fluidity and like being able to like adapt and overcome because it's like the algorithm is always changing. Like people's needs are always changing and just like being able to be like, yeah, I'll learn something new. I'll do that. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. This is my mind is like being blown right now. It's so interesting hearing about this because like you said, it's kind of like you get tunnel vision and then it was like, oh my God, you're allowed to do this. And that's kind of like what this podcast is like, giving yourself permission to like do things the non-traditional way. And it just opens up this like world of opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. I'm really curious, what is like the most important lesson you've learned over your career so far as you've continued to grow?
Oh, goodness.
Loaded question.
Yeah, I think Probably the most important thing I learned is that it's okay to change. Everyone who knows me will like agree with this. Like, I'm that person who has like their 5-10 year plan. Like, everything's lined up. I know like my timeline is there, and my timeline's been there for a long time. So I think being okay with change has been something I've really had to adapt with. I mean, if you had asked me 5 years ago if I thought I would be halfway through my doctorate in 2023, I would say, you're crazy. Why would I do a doctorate? Like, I think things happen for a reason, and kind of learning to go with the flow. I'm still working on it. I'm no expert, but I feel like kind of just taking those opportunities when they come up, even within my business. It's like someone says, hey, you know, I have this 6-month project, and you're like, okay, like, I'm going to make it happen. And that's kind of the approach I've taken with my business, is like, I'm going to say yes, and then I'll hire someone, or I'm going to say yes, and then I'll, you know, modify my commitments in another area. Like, I think finding opportunities, embracing opportunities, but also being okay with the change that those opportunities bring.
I love that so much. Entrepreneurship is all about, like, I think, like we said, like being flexible and like open to change. I love that. Amazing. You said that you had a few like entrepreneurial paths like throughout your life. It started with the bookmarks. I'm curious what like some other paths you've taken, some other jobs that you've done in your life are.
Yeah, totally. So if my kind of biggest and most consistent, I guess, like part-time job that I've continued is teaching dance. I grew up as a dancer. I love teaching. That's kind of the educator in me. So that's kind of how I get my fill of traditional education now, is through teaching dance. So I've done that pretty much consistently since I was 17, like grade 11, grade 12, which is awesome. And I've got to like every new city I've moved to, I've pretty much got involved in dance. And that's been like a really great way for me to get comfortable in new places and meet new people. And my best friends to this day are all from dance at various places. So definitely I would say that's something that stuck with me. Again, educator in me, I did a lot of like working in summer camps, and, you know, I worked my way up through like traditional camp counselor through to like administration in summer camps. I've had other businesses, none have been full-time. So I had kind of what I would call kind of passion projects that I've done. I had a business that kind of sparked my interest in curriculum, which was I wrote a curriculum to teach dance in schools. So I had a team of like instructors, and we would go to all the local like elementary schools and teach dance classes, and it was super cute. COVID killed that one. And that's kind of what eventually led to this company. But yeah, a lot of kind of different little projects here and there. I mean, looking back, they all relate back to education. So it's no surprise I've ended up here. But I think my entrepreneur bug tends to win, because I find unique ways to kind of bring in all the things I like to do.
That's so fun. Oh, I love that so much. I love dancing. Yeah. I never would have guessed that you like teach dance often. I don't know why. Yeah. I was just like surprised, but that's awesome. Yeah, I love how that.
I love it. It's kind of one of those things that's just like, you know, my mom put me in at 2.5 and just never stopped.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I love that. It sounds like it really, like you said, combines like the traditional teaching that you love, but also mixed with like the creativity. And that's kind of like what I can see in like, or what I like, we haven't been talking that long, but I feel like that really shows through, is that like you love this like traditional balance of teaching with like the untraditional balance of creativity.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love a good balance here at Wildly Balanced.
It's always a balancing act, honestly.
Right? It's so wild. Well, I want to ask a question, but I don't want it to sound too like job interviewee.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Like something that you're proud of that with your business.
Oh, I think probably the biggest, there's be a few. I think if I think big picture, the biggest thing I'm proud of is that it is my full-time job. We don't have any like entrepreneurs in my family. I don't really know where this like entrepreneur bug came from. And I think it's amazing that I'm able to like hit financial goals, and I'm able to hit like personal goals, and I'm able to be flexible, and I'm able to live in different parts of, you know, the country and travel and do all these things while also working full-time for myself. Cause that's, you know, something that again, 5 years ago, I never would have imagined.
Oh, I love that so much. Congrats.
Thank you.
That's such an inspiring feeling. I feel like, especially like during the pandemic too, of like transitioning online and being able to like work full time for yourself is so important.
I had a moment last year. I remember I was just sitting in my car. I don't even think I'd left my house. Like I was literally like sitting parked in my driveway, and I wrote myself a note on my like my phone notes, basically just being like, holy crap, I did it. Like, look at your life. You're a full-time entrepreneur. You've moved out of the house. You have a dog. Like, you're doing all these things. Like, good job. And I think I admittedly don't take the time to notice those accomplishments as much as I should. But every once in a while, I have these moments where I'm like, oh yeah, like I did that. And I'm doing it like every day.
Oh my God, I have chills. That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
I did a podcast like solo a couple episodes back that was like redefining what success looks like for me. Cause I feel like I like was so like zoomed in my business that I needed to like take a step back and like look at what I like have accomplished similar to that. And it's like, damn, I'm doing the things. Like I'm full time with it. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's hard. I think as entrepreneurs, I mean, maybe I'm generalizing, but I feel like the people I talk to, at least this is true, is that we tend to not take that time to kind of like celebrate ourselves oftentimes because we're already looking at the next thing, because as a business owner, you have to be, right? You don't really have the time to stop and like enjoy it. I had a business coach who would like compliment me and like celebrate me, and I would just go like, yeah, and keep talking. And he actually made me like stop and like listen to him and actually respond to what he said, because he's like, Maya, you don't accept it. Like, you need to learn how to stop and like take a moment. So I think finding, whether it's like you schedule your, you know, your gratitude moment once a week, or if you're like, I'm a very visual person, so I used to have like a whole like sticky note wall of like my goals, and I would move them like from one side to the other when I accomplish them. So whatever it is to kind of like celebrate yourself, I think having those things are really important.
Yes. I love the idea of a sticky note wall. That's so fun.
I mean, of course, type A brain, like they were color coded based on, you know, what types of goals they were, like it was all the things, but again, those little things, like it's kind of fun. You come in and you see that you've accomplished half the things on your wall. Like, I don't know, it's silly things, but they
totally work. That's so fun. Totally. And I think you definitely need that like moment in your life, because you get so, like you said, you get so like caught in of like looking what's next or what your other goals are. Or like for me, I tend to like compare myself to like people that I see online so often, and it's like, well, I'm not making like $1 million and I'm not doing this and I'm not hitting these goals. But then it's like, my sister, I traveled last year a little bit, and I'm going to be traveling this year, which is like my goal with my business, is like to be able to take it on the road with me, which is super exciting. And when I was like traveling with it, I was like texting my sister, like messaging her, and she's like, look at you, you did it, like this is what you wanted. Oh. And it just like made me cry, and I like got caught up in it, and I was like, bitch, you're right, I am doing it.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And I think for me, the pandemic really showed me the value of my business and being able to travel. I ended up moving right at the end of 2020, like 16 hours away from home. So,
oh, damn.
But my business just came with me, right? Like I started my business there, but when I would come home for the summer, I could do that. Even like just in November, like September, October, November of 2022, I was traveling like crazy, and I could, because I could just go, and it just makes it easy. And it's really nice that there's no one, you know, asking me where I am or what I'm doing. And I can just find the ways to balance the things that need to be balanced at that point in time.
Totally. The freedom is like unmatched.
Yeah.
It's so good. I'm curious if there's something like, what are your non-negotiables when you're like in your business and traveling with it specifically?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a hard one. I'm a list person. So for me, I try to keep like my lists of what, like, so for example, next week I'm going away. So I have my, you can't see on the podcast, but I have my list of my, like, my master list of what has to be done before I leave. And then while I'm away, I have a list of the things that have to be done while I'm away, just to kind of keep myself on track. I think with balancing school and work, I tend to get in these like super focused times in one and then kind of forget about the other, which can be really tricky when they're both so important. One is really like fueling the other because my job pays for me to go to school. So I think I'm trying to find that balance. I told myself 2023, my goal was to work half day school, half day work. It's almost the end of January and I have not done that once, but it's going to happen. We're working towards it. I'm still trying to play catch up from 2022. But so like for next week, my goal while I'm away is to actually not work, which sounds kind of crazy. I'm still going to answer like team messages and be there for my team who are all kind of delegated on their own tasks. But me as, you know, an employee of the business is going to be kind of off and working on school and kind of, again, finding that balance. And for me, I need to kind of prioritize one area of my life more than the other right now.
That's so exciting. I love that so much. First of all, I'm very curious where you're going.
Not too nosy. I'm going to Alberta. It's not that exciting.
Oh, fun. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm going to go do some, buckle down on some school on campus. I go to U of C.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, you're doing it online now then?
It's a hybrid program.
Nice. Oh, that's cool.
Yes. So it was hybrid pre-COVID. So, you know, I knew what I was getting into when COVID happened. Yeah.
That's fair. I love all the opportunities of like going online. Anyways, back to what we're talking about. I love that you're a list person. I'm also very much like a list person. I'm like, I need to have it written down. Yep. And I'm the kind of person who will put like wake up and make coffee like on my to-do list.
Oh, my to-do list for today definitely has shower on it. Like, because that had to get done. It also has like baked cookies because I also am going to a friend's house tonight and needed to bake cookies today. So it's like,
yum.
Again, balance, you know, work-life balance.
Yes. I love that so much. And I feel like it's so hard to like create these new like resolutions or something or like goals. Cause I'm very much a person, like it's January when we're filming this. So like New Year's resolutions is still like very high in my mind kind of thing. And I'm like, I am not a resolution person. I'm more of like an intention person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are my long-term goals for this year, but I don't expect myself to like do them the first week of January. Cause I'm like, I can't, I'm not that kind of person. And I feel like you build up these like bad habits so much. Like I'm kind of like really diving deep into this. Cause like I had a client that I was working with long-term and it was like, it just wasn't working for both of us anymore. And it's because like I had worked with her like very shortly after I started my business. And so before my business, all I knew was not like corporate, because I didn't do corporate, but I had like quote regular jobs of like, you come here for 8 hours and like we own you for 8 hours and you like do whatever you want, do whatever we want. And then you go home kind of thing. So like transitioning online, I'm like, that's how you work for someone. That's how you work as an employee. You know, you're like, hi, you own me for 8 hours, you know? And so,
and then you start your own business and you're working 24/7.
Yeah, literally. I was like on call for like 20 hours a day. And I'm like, is this normal? Cause this is all I know.
Especially in like the virtual assisting world. I did a little bit of that part-time when I was just starting my business. I worked with one client specifically and I absolutely loved her. But it's hard because I felt like I was trying to grow my own business, but also trying to grow her business and trying to like manage all of this. Like there wasn't enough space in my head to be running two businesses.
Totally. Totally. And me as a virtual assistant, like I've had up to like, I think the max clients I had was like 6 or something at one point, which is like a lot of clients. And it was like, I was like, this is fine. Cause I'm only doing a little bit for each person. But then like mentally I had 6 full-time jobs and it was just like so much.
Well, and it doesn't just turn off, right? Like even I'll talk about that with my friends a lot. And then like the hard thing is I can turn off my computer at 5 o'clock but I'm still worried that somebody might message me and need me because my team is on different time zones. Or, you know, I'm thinking about that email I didn't answer, or, you know, that grant application I didn't finish, or an upcoming deadline for a client. And it's, I don't get to just leave it at the door at 5 o'clock.
Totally. Or like, I have clients that like, we'll talk on, we use Voxer to communicate. So like, there'll be a lot of stuff back and forth there. And then all of a sudden it's like 8 PM and I'm like, oh, I didn't write it down. Like there's something I forgot.
Yeah. It's a balancing act, like trying to make sure that you are doing everything for everyone else, but then also doing what you need to do for you. And I think that's what I'm hoping I find a little bit more of this year, is that balance of like, my clients don't run my life. I need to run my business so that I can have a life. And we'll see. Totally. Talk to me in December. We'll see if we got there.
Yes. Come back on the podcast in December. We'll have a check-in.
Yeah.
That'd be so fun. Yeah, I totally feel that. And something that I'm like really allowing myself for is like grace when it comes to like resolutions and like my goals, because it was kind of like an epiphany moment of like, you spend like your entire life, like what I was saying about my jobs before I started my business is like, that's all I knew as like, this is how you work. So it's like, I spent 10 years learning these habits about like how to work for somebody. And then all of a sudden I like work for myself and I'm like, no, it's supposed to be completely different. But it's like, it took me 10 years to like build those habits that like, you can't just change them overnight. Like you have to kind of like learn to switch them out. It's like, if you want to go to bed earlier, you can't just get up early tomorrow morning. You have to like go to bed earlier. And then like, you know, you have to like train yourself to
totally
to have
no,
your
it's
new goals.
Definitely all about like routines and habits and things that kind of just become normal. It was funny, just today I said to my boyfriend, we got home, I think we, you know, slept in a little bit too long and then went to the gym. And I think I sat at my desk at like 10:30 and I literally looked at him and I was like, how would we ever have real jobs? Like, because I'm like, I couldn't do it. Like, I'm so used to being on my own schedule. That being said, there also are days where I'm like working 14 hours and that's also not normal. But
it's,
I think having
balance.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely called balance. But it's just been, for me, it's been really nice. We just moved into a new house a few weeks ago. So it's been like, you know, I'm going to do these few tasks that like I have to get done. And then I'm going to go build a piece of furniture, or I'm going to go like clean this one area or do this one task. So again, that balance is coming back. And I think if I was working a quote unquote traditional job, it would be a lot harder because I would, like you said, be kind of a, you know, stuck to one thing for 8 hours and not really being able to take those breaks to go and do other things necessarily.
Totally. I love that you're like prioritizing you and your business and yourself too. Cause I tend to do that with my clients of like, I will spend all day doing like paid client work and I will neglect myself and like my business. And so I'm really
working
trying to
in your business versus working on your business. Once I heard that, yes, a light bulb clicked, right? Is knowing the difference between like working for clients, working in your business, and then working on your business is kind of that bigger picture stuff. I've seen a few people, I really like the idea of this, and I've tried it in various capacities, but I've seen some people who do like CEO days where like Mondays or Fridays where they won't take like meetings. And I love that because it's kind of that dedicated time to just focus. And I think we kind of all need more of that space to explore and have fun and create when we're allowed to.
Totally. I love the idea of a CEO day. I'm like, I'm going to implement these. And then I have not yet, but one day it'll be a goal.
One day. It's exactly. We're working towards these things. It's not linear.
Exactly. Mine is going to be like Fridays. And I'm like, okay, now I have to like train myself to like work Monday to Thursday and like get everything done in those 4 days. So
I've started doing that. I strictly don't take meetings on Fridays. That was my like first step to CEO days, was no meetings. I'm still doing client work on those days at this point, but at least it was kind of a step in the right direction.
Oh, I love that. You're like, I'm doing it, but like secretly.
Yeah, we're still working on getting totally there, but it's a starting point.
Ooh, I love that so much. Yeah. Business is weird, man. It's a trek.
I don't think there is any right way to do it. And I think that's what makes it hard, is that every person you talk to is going to have a different idea of what's right, what's wrong, you know, the timeline you should be on, the things you should be accomplishing.
Oof, that's good. I like that. I'm curious if you had like a piece of advice. We've kind of been like talking about this like throughout the whole podcast, but if there's like a piece of advice that you'd give to someone who's like starting out and maybe inspired by impact learning and wanting to create like an education-based business like this, yeah. Or even just like, you know, your years of being an entrepreneur, like something that, some advice that you would give.
Yeah, totally. There's a few. This is always a hard one because I'm like, I want to tell you everything.
You're like, how long do you have?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how much do you really want to know? I think my number one for today, just for today, is to, I guess, figure out what you like and what you don't like. And some people are probably thinking, what do you mean? Well, for me, within my business, there are certain things that I love to do. So I do them. There are certain things in my business I love to do, but they're not worth my time to do. So I outsource them. And there's some things that I'm just not good at and don't want to do. So I outsource them. So I think finding what you like and don't like. I also think at the end of the day, your business to some extent should be a reflection of you, right? You're not going to run, like for me, I'm not going to turn around and run a business about like, I don't know, like computer software, because I don't know anything and don't really care to know anything about computer software. Like, figure out what you like and let that kind of guide your decisions. But then also within your business, keep up with that. Just because you own a business doesn't mean you have to do everything.
Ooh, I like that. I think especially as a virtual assistant, I'm like, yeah, outsource. Hit me up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or do the things you don't like.
Yeah. And there's so many things like that, that it's like, you just don't realize necessarily that there's people out there who do like to do that and who would do that for you. And again, that's kind of, you know, that shameless self-promo that are my business too. That's what we do, is we're here to help you do the things that you don't want to do if there are things that we can help you with.
Totally. I think that really opens up like space for you too. Like, if I work with a lot of coaches, so like they'll do the coaching and that's what they thrive on. And that's like the impact that they serve. And then I really love like the general admin techie side of things. So it's like, I'll help you stay organized so that you have the space and the capacity to like change more lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. I'm very curious what your unpopular opinion is around anything we've been talking about.
Okay, so the most common, I feel like, advice people will give young, or not young, but like new entrepreneurs is just do it. And to some extent, I agree. But I guess my unpopular opinion is that like, I don't totally agree. And it's like, yes, I can admit that like, I started this business kind of like on a whim and I just started. But I think that for me at this point, it kind of worked because I've had some entrepreneurial experience in the past. But I know for me, I'm very much someone who like goes full force ahead and is like, okay, well, let's buy like matching t-shirts and let's buy business cards and let's buy like a website and like, let's do all the things and make it professional. And sometimes you don't need to do it. Like, you don't need to do it all to do it well. So I think that's like, yes, just do it, but approach with caution, because you don't want to be investing thousands and thousands of dollars in an idea that you haven't generated a dollar on, or something that like you haven't proven people want or people will pay for. So I think just do it, but cautiously.
Ooh, I like that. Because I feel like I've said that before, like, just do it all the time. And you hear it so much, but like, you have to have some sort of like passion behind you. Like, you can't just like,
and like a little bit of a plan. It doesn't need to be like perfect, but you have to kind of know where you're going and what you want to do. Like, you can't just quit your job and think that you're going to, you know, start this business that has never been done before. And like, there's got to be, I don't know, some sort of a vision to where you're going. And just a bit of, I don't know, like, in the most loving way, like a dose of reality. Because I've seen businesses and I've worked with people who are like, yeah, I've invested thousands of dollars into this coach and into my branding and into my this and my that. And it's like, because they were so excited and passionate and great. And I'm so glad, and let's bottle up all that excitement. But you can't spend $10,000 without knowing how you're going to make a dollar.
Totally.
So I think that's really where that comes from, is like a desire to want to help people and be like, wait a second, we can do this. Like, we can bootstrap this, right? Like, we can create a website ourselves. We can create a logo that's good enough for now and then come back to it when we have those extra funds.
Totally. I love that. I feel like that's a huge thing too with like people online. Like, you see a lot of these like huge like coaches or like consultants or businesses, and they're like, you know, start a business, make $1 million tomorrow. And it's like, that's a fault. Like, not to crush dreams, but like, that's a false narrative.
No,
you know,
like,
yeah.
And not it's like, tomorrow, can't just pay least. Me 10.
Yeah. You can't just pay me $10,000 and like be successful. Like, I feel like, especially as a virtual assistant, I see that a lot too, of like the virtual assistant and like the client, like you really have to work together to like make it happen.
Absolutely.
Totally. Oh, I like that. It's funny how many times I'm like, what's your unpopular opinion? And then my guest is like, people might hate this. And I'm like, you're literally just spitting facts. Like,
yep,
just straight facts.
And it's sometimes like a hard pill to swallow, because I feel like as an entrepreneur, and as especially like a young female entrepreneur, I feel like my advice is supposed to be, you can do it too. And it is. But I just think that we can do it more effectively in a way that
totally,
you're not going to waste money.
Totally. And I feel like throughout, like, this is, I've done like 50 episodes of the podcast or something crazy at that point now. And I've had like so many guests from so many walks of life. And it's so interesting to see that like some of the advice that I hear, and it's so true, is that like not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur, you know?
Yes. Well, and not every idea is meant to succeed either. Mm-hmm. Like, I, in my moving process, the amount of stuff I've thrown out from my past two businesses specifically, one was in high school, one was in my undergrad. They were just kind of more passion projects, and they were great at the time. Like, they made money, they were successful in my version of what success was supposed to be at that time. But I threw out probably like close to $1,000 worth of marketing material, because I was like, woohoo, Vistaprint, let's buy 1,000 postcards. And then like, either one, didn't use them, two, the business shut down. So you don't need to invest in everything to be a real business, right? You can do things your own way.
Totally. Oh, I love that. I mean, I should look at Vistaprint. I don't think I have like any merch. I have a little bit of merch with my stuff on it, but like most if not all of my business is like digital. So it's all online. But
it's fun. Every once in a while, like, I have a sweater with my company logo that like I just made with my Cricut. Like, I made it myself, and I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, thanks. Like, and it's special because it's the only one, right? Versus it being out there. Also, like, I don't think anyone else would really want my company sweater. Like, it's not like it's a big, that's not our goal, is like merch.
Totally.
But for something like, say, a podcast, right? It'd be super fun to have merch, and there's a lot of opportunities out there. But also, like, you don't need 1,000 stickers. You could start with 500, right? So I think finding that like balance of what you actually need to spend money on to start a business, and what you can kind of either do without or modify until you're ready.
Totally. I feel like I'm also like that, like digitally too. Like, I didn't have a website for, I think, 2 years in my business.
Oh, wow.
I just like didn't have a website, because like all of my clients came from like referral and like word of mouth and like Facebook groups and stuff. And I had like, I still had like areas that you could reach me. So like my Instagram and I had like a link in bio thing, but like I didn't have a website for like 2 years. And then now that I have it, I don't really like use it. It's more like for me kind of thing.
Well, and it's nice for like people to know that they can find you there. Right. And
totally.
Whether or not they do, that's another story.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like website is like a big thing that people are like, can't start a business until I have a website. And like, depending on your business, I would agree and also disagree.
Totally. Absolutely agree with that.
Amazing. This has been such a fun conversation.
Yeah, I really enjoy chatting. I think I don't know, I could talk about like entrepreneurship all day long.
I feel that so hard. Amazing. I'm very curious, as we kind of wind down the podcast, what your permission slip is for this week. I can tell mine first if you want a minute to think about it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, my permission slip this week is to like schedule my CEO days and to just really make it happen. And my first step is literally something I've been wanting to do like all week that I haven't been, is to like reform my availability, because I don't change it very often, but then I'm like, ah, people keep booking late at night and or like later in the afternoon. And I'm like, that's because my availability says later afternoon. So I'm going to go through that and like switch my availability up.
I love it. And get rid of availabilities on maybe a half day to start.
Yeah. Fridays is going to be Carly day.
Exactly. Okay. My permission slip is to not accomplish everything off my to-do list. I definitely am that person who, like, you know, I want to get everything done, and most days, like on a reasonable day, I can. But for example, for today, I've got social plans, and you know what? That means that not everything's going to get done today, but that's okay. The most important things got done, and I have to give myself permission to be okay with that.
Oh, I like that. Next on the list, though, is bake cookies. Don't forget that.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. I need to keep reminding myself, because I like to make like a giant to-do list of like my week. And then at the end of the day, I'll be like, there's so much left. And I have to be like, girl, this is a week to-do list, not a daily to-do list.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different ways. Like, I'm a Google Calendar for like appointments, but then I'm a written person for like to-do lists and balancing all the places I have lists. Like, it can be overwhelming, but I think having a system that works for you, like, you'll eventually figure it out.
Totally. Amazing. I'm very curious where listeners can find you online. Where can they stalk you? Absolutely. What are you promoting right now? Shameless self-promo the heck out of this.
Yeah. So the most active spot to find me would be on our company Instagram. So at Impact Learning Company. Then you can find that, or you can find me on my personal website, which is just mayasagar.com, and then the company website as well. Feel free to pop me a DM, say hi. I'm the one managing the company Instagram right now, so we can chat. Yeah, feel free to connect wherever. We have a lot of really exciting things coming out in 2023. So definitely kind of stay tuned.
Amazing. We'll have all that linked in the show notes so you can check it out. Also, if you're on Instagram, give us a follow at wildly.balanced and check out our website, wildlybalancedpodcast.com. Thank you so much, Maya, for being here. This was such a fun conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I am super excited to follow along the rest of the kind of journey of Wildly Balanced.
Yeah, dude, I should definitely have you back on in like December. Be like, so how was your CEO days?
How did they work out?
How was your half days?
Exactly. You got small steps. That's all it takes.
Yes. Amazing.